Hello and welcome back to Echoes in the Night. This is our The Between Ghosts of El Paso game that we are running with GM Jason. And we are having a fantastic time with this game. I'm really looking forward to getting started. Before we do, I will invite you to come join us over on The Actual Place. That is our Discord server where we love to hang out with all of our listeners and fans. And Jason, you have the Gauntlet, is that right?
Indeed, the Gauntlet Discord is a fun place to hang out as well.
Yeah, and we'll have links to both of those in the show notes as always. And with that, let's go ahead and get back into it. Jason, take us away.
So we are starting with the day phase. This is our second day phase. In the second day phase, that's the right time to talk about a move that we have not seen yet, which is called the Vulnerable Move. So the Vulnerable Move is one of the basic moves, and it reads as follows. When you have an intimate moment with another hunter while one of you is engaged in your vice, you may clear an appropriate condition. If it's your vice, you can also stumble on a clue. So you tell me what it is, you define the clue, or invite the other hunter to ask you about your past. You must answer truthfully, but not necessarily completely. So this is one of those opportunities to talk about your past. There are not many in the game. This is one of them.
I think Hannah and I are really set up well to do this.
Yeah, I think so. And so, yeah, so basically this is how you can clear your conditions, and it's a way of either stumbling on a clue as well or to get conversation going about your past. At this point, we'll go around the table and find out what everyone's interested in doing. Now, normally, if this was an ongoing campaign, I would introduce a second threat because there will be up to three going. But since this is just a special two-shot, there won't be a new threat. So let's go ahead and figure out what everybody wants to do today. You might want to have one of these vulnerable move scenes so that you can clear some conditions or get a free clue. Or you might want to focus on one of your Dawn questions or pursue some other thing you want to pursue. I have some ideas as well for some of the characters that I might kind of throw in there. So let's kick off with Miranda and Reverend Potter. Do you want to have a vulnerable move scene, a follow-up from the previous evening's events?
Yeah.
So I just need one of you to decide which vice is in play then.
Oh, his.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is...
He's literally high as a kite right now.
Yeah.
Very good. So this is like early the next morning, morphine.
I am feeling
stuff going
good.
On. Yeah. I like that. Be thinking about that scene. Let me check in with Maximilian and Jack. Mr. Conrad, what do you want to do to start
the
day?
So I kind of just had an idea where we might be able to use both of our vices in a vulnerable move.
Mm-hmm.
Because my vice is puffery, which is, you know, exaggerated or false praise, and his is chess.
Right. So yeah.
I like the idea that Maximilian is kind of in shock and trying to just kind of not think about it. And maybe there's a reason that he kind of gets along well with Jack. That Jack, that we know right now, doesn't remember. Maybe they decide to sit down and play a game of chess after Max kind of passes on what happened last night and tries to forget about it.
Can I ask something real quick? Is Jack's chess vice because of the thing about when death comes to get you, you can challenge him to a game? Is that the reason that chess is his vice? Like
that is, yeah, it's definitely connected to that,
it's
right?
Definitely that. Yep, he's got to keep his skills sharp.
He can't say no.
I think these are both great scenes.
I think I know how the lady got away from him then.
Jack, does that sound good to you?
That works for me. I was actually, my idea was, I was thinking that I would have actually possibly played a game of chess against Miss NPC who nearly caught me last night. But but you can't use those to clear conditions because they're NPCs and not hunters, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But certainly she could be the focus of a conversation that might help you clear the condition, right?
Yeah, because we could be talking about what we learned last night.
Conversation,
yeah.
Eyebrow wiggle.
Yes, a conversation.
Indeed.
A conversation with a con.
Yes.
We're going to have these two scenes. Now, Miranda and Reverend Potter, there actually aren't any conditions that either of you can clear.
Yeah.
However, you can still trigger the move for purposes of stumbling on a clue or inviting... Reverend Potter inviting Ms. Wilder to ask you a question about the past. It's your choice.
Maybe a little bit.
Let's have the scene. It's your vice, Reverend Potter. So where do we find the scene? What's happening here?
So do I need to be actively like partaking in the vice for the move?
No,
trigger,
just as long as the vice is the focus of the scene. Okay. I think it's fine. Yeah.
I think maybe as long as Suzanne is okay with this, maybe Miranda invited him over for breakfast at the saloon.
Yeah, because I came over and said, like, I need to talk to you about this thing that I learned. So I would say, like, hey, you want to come over to the saloon? That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so I think...
I've made him some coffee.
Yeah.
Because he clearly needs it.
Yeah. He definitely is grateful for the coffee. So I think he's just sitting at the... probably a table in the saloon with the cup of coffee, kind of spacey.
I think the saloon isn't open yet. I think everything's closed. There's no one else here.
That makes sense. Saloons are normally an evening thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think you already told me what happened last night, or are you going to tell me this morning?
I think I tell you now.
Okay.
Like, I just tell you what I learned, what I learned from Marcus.
Yeah.
I don't tell you who told me, but I tell you what I learned.
Yeah, I think you say all of this, and he kind of scratches the back of his head and then goes, well, that's a bit concerning.
I think she goes, mm-hmm, and takes a sip of her coffee.
Well, you know what the good book has to say about the devil and all.
Tell me, Reverend, have you ever done an exorcism?
He kind of lets out, like, a nervous, like, kind of shaky breath, and then shakes his head and says, you know, that's not normally in my denomination.
She kind of laughs at that, and she says, well, I'm sure your good book says something about how that needs to be done.
I could consult some other resources.
She nods, and I think she's kind of watching him for a second, like, in a way that is almost, like, predatory. Oh. Like, she's, like, analyzing him.
Kind of gulps.
And I think eventually she kind of sits back and she says, are you all right?
I'm fine. I had a bit of a scare last night. And he explains what happens outside of his window.
And she watches him, and you can see the look on her face is somewhat skeptical. And then she says, are you sure it was a real ghost, not just something you're seeing?
Well, I mean, it left this. And he pulls out the pile of dance tokens.
She looks down at it because he doesn't seem the type to have those. And she kind of picks them up and runs them through her hands and puts them back down on the table and says, all right.
I suppose it could have been a dream or something, though.
You see ghosts often?
He kind of goes quiet for a minute. I think maybe he starts tracing the grain of the table with his finger, because he knows she's talking about actual ghosts, but he's thinking of, you know, other things that haunt him. I think eventually he looks back up at her and says, in a way, I guess.
And she has a somewhat, just like a, just on the edge of, just a little too interested kind of predatory smile, and she says, you want to talk about it?
I think he shifts kind of uncomfortably and clears his throat and says, the war wasn't exactly kind to me.
And something shifts on her face and it goes kind of hard. And she says, I understand that.
There's lots of men I couldn't save. Women, children that I see often. Sure you understand.
She kind of nods, and you see her kind of slip her hand into the collar of her shirt and pull out this ring on a chain around her neck. And she kind of unconsciously fiddles with it, and then realizes what she's doing and stuffs it back under her shirt. And she says, I can understand where you're coming from. But real ghosts, that's something that's been happening for a long time.
No, not particularly.
She crosses her arms. She says, do you think it's a side effect?
He shifts uncomfortably again. Takes a long sip of his coffee.
That feels pretty good. Or, yeah.
She'd be okay if he doesn't answer her.
Yeah.
I think the silence kind of answers it for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good scene. Thank you. Jack.
Yeah.
This is your chess match. What's the scene look like?
If Conrad wants to work it in with his, which I totally love that, is Jack is on his way over to I don't recall if she ever told him the hotel, but he would know, right? Or is there like one hotel?
It's the Golden Nugget, I think, or something. I can't remember. But
either way.
Something
like the Golden Spoke.
Yes, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's on the way over there, I think, and he's walking down the street. And I want to say maybe that Conrad just pokes a head out of his wagon, starts waving, and says, "Jack! Jack, come in here. Come here and play."
Oh, yeah, yeah. He would say something like that, yeah.
He's just on his way, and he's drawn in by a commotion and waving or whatever.
I love it. So we'll do the scene, and just remember to try to angle your roleplay towards clearing one of your conditions.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you approach the wagon, and you see Maximilian kind of darting his eyes kind of along the street. It looks like he's not setting up to do a presentation or anything, and he just kind of beckons you over and he says, I gotta talk to you about something.
Mr. Conrad? Yes?
Yes, yes, you know me, Jack. Come on.
Of course. And he steps in. I think Conrad might notice he might be glancing around this wagon a bit more strangely than usual, because he's never seen the inside of this wagon, and it's like, he's like, oh, it's a moving house on wheels. How interesting, he's thinking, without any context whatsoever.
Yeah. Just a quick question to paint the scene. Was Jack, like, bringing a chess set over to the hotel, or...
I thought of it, like, I can change it if you like, but I was thinking that if Conrad already had this established kind of friendship with Jack, he might just have a chess set in the wagon somewhere, is what I was thinking. But if not...
And maybe that wasn't even... something I like better, maybe that wasn't an aspect of their relationship, but Conrad happens to have one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily that he had...
Because I have an idea for that, so...
Not necessarily that he had it for my character's sake, but that he happens to have
one. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think specifically he didn't. Mm. So you walk in, you're looking around this wagon, and you spot a beautiful, like... carved wooden chess set.
Yeah, I think the moment he steps in and he's looking around, he sees this and his eyes get a little huge. He walks over very quickly. He looks at Conrad and goes, I think perhaps we might play a bit as we talk. You said there was something.
Yeah.
Yes?
And Conrad, he's like kind of like, he was like beckoning you in. He's kind of like a little bit furtive, and he kind of pauses for a second. He looks at you a little quizzically, and he just says, "What, you want to play chess?"
And he kind of chuckles. I don't want to play chess. I want to win chess. And he immediately he immediately puts the board down. He sits on the side of the white pieces, allowing the other side. Is there like a trestle table or a something?
There's a table that we could pull over. Yeah. Yep. And maybe some stools or something.
Mm-hmm.
And as, like, the game is being set up, you see some surprise on Maximilian's faces. Faces? You see
well, he has some two-faced, didn't he?
Mm. That's true.
Freudian
and you see
slip.
Some surprise. Yeah.
I don't think Jack
Freudian
is,
slip.
I don't think Jack is even noticing this because he is so terribly absorbed in the ritual of setting up this board.
But Max is going to say, you know, you're a man of surprises, Jack Walker. I would have pegged you for the, I don't know. I know that you're a master of your craft. I know that you know things that can help us in our nightly endeavors, but I wouldn't have pegged you for a chess man.
And he looks at you very kind of confused, because he just says, well, it's one of the greatest inventions of all mankind, don't you think?
Yes, it is quite fun to match wits. And you see kind of a cunning smile growing on Max's face, because he thinks he's got you.
And I think he sits down on his side, kind of spreads his hands over the board and says, shall we play then?
And Max just nods. And as you're starting to play, I think he opens up and he just says, I have to say, I called you over here because quite disturbing events last night. Did you see anything?
Indeed. I had a rather... interesting encounter myself, if you must know.
Do go on. And he, like, moves, you know, one of his pieces, takes one of yours.
He's watching him very carefully, he moves a piece, says, "You ever read in a good book, Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned?"
You see a look on Max's face. He just says, "I'm going to be honest with you, Jack. If either of us was well aware of the wrath that the finer sex could show, it would be me." And he smiles.
And he moves a piece, clears his throat. I had a rather unpleasant run-in this evening past with a very old acquaintance of mine.
And he's just kind of nodding. He doesn't say anything to prompt you, but he nods.
"I try to set her on the path of good, and yet she seems determined to run from it, always."
And Max isn't really sure how to respond to that. And he just says, "I'm going to be honest with you, Jack. I only know a few ways to handle a woman, and it's usually very physical."
And he kind of raises an eyebrow and...
"This is not how I expected this conversation to go."
"Nope."
And he,
it wasn't how I expected it to go either until we got into it.
He just raises an eyebrow and he just says...
"I guess your advice is puffery."
He just says, "Yes, I understand, but that's not exactly... It wasn't so much a situation such as that. It was... she had a wish of something that I could not grant, and so I must be
Jack,
in opposition."
You're gonna need to stop for a second there. That sounds...
"I know what it sounds like,
exactly,
yes.
Like what I'm referring to.
I know what it sounds like, I know."
He kind of looks at you bemusedly and makes another move, and he says, "This had what to do with everything that's going on, though? I don't quite follow. You said that she was from your past, and she's not following the correct path, but what's her stake in all this?"
"I believe she might know a bit more than she has let on. She actually requested that I were to meet her. She claims to hold information that could be vital to, or rather, at least important to this endeavor of ours."
"So she's in the craft, so to speak."
"You might say that. At least she... I can't say with certainty she knows her way around."
"Well, a master such as yourself maybe could show her the way around."
And I know what this sounds like, but he says... He looks at her very seriously and just goes, "What I wish to show her, she has no wish to see." I know.
This episode is more innuendo than the pink picker.
Max actually lets out quite a hearty laugh.
It's not not innuendo to him. He's being completely serious.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
that's how Max picks it up.
I love the immortal deity that definitely knows what he's talking about.
And Max, after giving a good chuckle, he kind of loses track of what his next move was for a second. He just says, "Jack, my boy, it is simply a delight how simple you are sometimes."
The reason why he's not enlightening him is he doesn't want to get into the whole "I am actually..."
Oh, we know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And okay. As that happens, I think Max places his queen, putting you in check.
I'm sorry, can I roll to see if I can win? Because...
No, I think you lose.
Hold on a second. That's not checkmate, though.
I know.
Because I have to say, like, if this is death, I mean, maybe I put him off guard and I beat death, but I don't know.
That would be really funny, though.
I feel like if anyone could, it would be the charlatan, right?
Yeah.
It's the whole
that's
devil
true.
Went down to Georgia.
That's true.
I mean, okay.
I... Maybe I should say I put you in checkmate, then.
Okay, if you want to jump to checkmate, which I will... I don't have a problem, but if you do... I think he looks and he goes over the board again, runs it through. "Yes. Oh, by all hell and brimstone, that's correct." And he under his breath, he can't believe he's been beaten by this random mortal in El Paso. And he looks at you and then he just laughs. He's just like, oh my. Oh.
I would like to suggest that might be a really good place to stumble on a clue too. Is somewhere okay. on that, somewhere in the chess, something in the chess game, maybe like there's a clue here.
Okay.
And sort of out of character, something to be kind of mindful of is these clues that you get to create can kind of help push towards a certain solution, right? You get to really put your thumb on the scale a little bit.
Okay.
So if the two of you want to work together to do that, you certainly can, because since both of you were kind of had your vices in play. So be thinking about that clue. And I think that would put you at 9 clues total, which is a pretty good amount. I mean, it's a super amount for the first question, and it's a pretty good amount for the second question. And so I think we should probably go ahead and start like maneuvering over to getting this question answered.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an idea or two.
Yeah. One quick thing I wanted to just close out our scene, like not play it out or anything, but...
And we should talk about conditions too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that scene kind of ends with Conrad kind of losing his tension. He didn't even get to the point yet of explaining what he saw last night, but I think he does, and he's lost that kind of shocked demeanor, I think.
Yeah, I'm into it. Yeah. So you're clearing shock. I think you make a strong case for that. Jack, are you going to clear Marked by Lady Antonia, since you're sort of...
I wasn't sure whether or not I could clear one or the other, considering that the other I did effectively, like, I snapped the ribbon in the moment, so I'm not sure if that still stands.
Yeah, I mean, I think the condition is sort of like it can be kind of a figurative thing as well.
Then I'll clear the Marked by... Because
you literally ignored her invitation,
well,
right?
See,
I mean, she's...
Well, he was on the way to go over, and he still is going to go, I would think. But
then I think I would clear the ribbon one instead.
Wait, okay, yeah. If I can, I would clear them. I would clear this just because he's the whole, like, bound thing. I think the act of just explaining this to the best of his ability... And the fact that this guy took it in the entire other direction was like, I think part of the whatever quote unquote fear or trepidation he may have had about, oh no, I'm bound. Perhaps he has, especially in interacting with his favorite game in all the universe, has, despite the fact he was beaten, has cleared that. So I am still planning to go and meet her, but so I'll leave the other one there. But Bound in Black Ribbon, I think I will clear if I can.
Oh.
Sounds good.
I just thought about something else I was going to say. Yeah. Something that Jack does at the end of the game is they're packing up. He just says, you know, getting open ends off of your mind would help with your chess game. You might want to pay this acquaintance a visit.
He nods. He says, I was actually on my way when you called, so...
Well, don't let me keep you from earthly delights.
And I think he looks at him and he just... She just shakes his head silently and waves. Farewell, Mr. Conrad.
Very good. Let's start talking about this, about answer a question. So that is another, the last of our basic moves we haven't seen yet. When the hunters, and truly it's the players, not the hunters, but when you have an open discussion about the answer to a question, once you've gathered a number of clues equal to at least half the complexity, and you have way more than that, and reach a consensus, you roll plus the number of clues incorporated into the answer or otherwise explained away minus the complexity. So basically the complexity is like a minus on the roll, and then every clue you work into it, you kind of work out of that hole until you get up to a positive.
Okay.
And so on a 10 plus, you're correct and you can pursue the opportunity. On a 7-9, you're correct, but I will add an unwelcome complication to the answer, or pursuing the opportunity will be more dangerous. On a miss, you're incorrect and I react. There's a special thing on a 12 plus as well. We'll talk about that if it happens. But the first thing we got to do is we have to answer the question. And this is like a group move, like one person rolls for the whole group, basically. Mm-hmm. Miranda, you said you had a thought. Do you want to start sharing it with us?
Yeah, so I think...
Well, first of all, which question are we thinking of?
I want to control it, obviously.
Okay.
That's kind of my jam. I'm looking for control and whatnot.
I have an idea for the other question, but you go ahead first.
Okay. I think that Diamond Dave made a deal that backfired on him.
Okay.
I think the devil went down to El Paso and Diamond Dave made a... made a deal that backfired on him now, and now he's got this corset. Obviously, he was planning to use the corset for something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that now the corset is like infected with the people he's been trying to get rid of. Like people who maybe knew he was up to illegal activities.
Ah, very good. Mm. Okay. So that's a good start. That's two of the clues, I think, accounted for. Anybody want to try to flesh that out with some more of the clues, or do we want to hear?
I think that the tunnel leading out of the Red Rocks root cellar mm-hmm. is where the illegal activities were like taking place. So I think okay, they were like trafficking something out mm-hmm. of there. I don't know
yeah.
what.
Yeah, we can add extra context to the clues as we need to. So we can say that they were smuggling things out of there. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I would like to maybe say that the fact that the reflective surfaces in the Red Rock are cloudy is just due to the presence of this corset and the fact that it's been infecting everything. It's also the idea that, of course, ghosts never show up in mirrors. They're insubstantial.
Mm. Oh, maybe when Dave looks into the mirrors, like he can like see something staring back that he doesn't like, so he's like clouded over all
the he's purposely clouded them.
Yeah,
oh,
that's like that. Good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay, that works.
I like that. That also better ties into the actual answer to the question too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're kind of getting somewhere now. This is good.
Another one that I could say wraps into it is the fact that Jack knows this ritual that can be used to bind him. I wrote it as malignant entity. I don't remember if that's how you said it in episode, but that helps us as far as our plan to do something about this. So we're kind of getting this idea yeah. that this is some kind of demon or other entity related to the devil. We're going to need to bind it in order to get that control that we're going for.
Yeah, we have to kind of focus in on the actual answer, which is the control. Okay, and okay. I think, you're right. No, that's good. I think that actually speaks to the actual answer, which is how can it be controlled? So Diamond Dave, these other clues have given some interesting backstory to the situation. Like, okay, Diamond Dave originally brought it here. And that kind of explains like the why it took the form of a corset, or why the corset is the medium, because it has the black ribbons in it, right? I mean, I think that's probably like a key thing there. Mm-hmm. And so if you all want to do something with the corset, you're going to have to incorporate, do something with the black ribbons or something along those lines. But the clues are explained. It's good to explain the clues of what you can, I mean, explain the clue of what, using the clues to like explain like why Diamond Dave did it is good, as long as we're ultimately leading to how do we control it ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
so
I think we're
getting there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's probably like five good clues accounted for. We still have the love song. We have the vision of blood. We have the dance tokens. And then we have this like free floating clue that
needs to be decided.
I have an idea for how to tie the other clues to the first question, if that's how that works, or do we need to tie them all to one question?
You just have to choose which one you're going to answer, and then basically you want to make a case for the other question, and I'd love to hear it. So.
Okay, so
what does it want?
The first question is, what does the corset want? I think the corset is searching for a romantic partner for the devil. I think the corset has been testing people to see who would be the best fit for the devil. And so, like, Marta's love song, when she died, the corset was drawn to it. And so it tested Marta to see if Marta would be a good partner. And she wasn't, so the corset killed her. Then obviously we have the ghostly apparition of one of the other victims, Sylvester.
And the dance tokens.
He left the dance tokens. So he was there dancing, and maybe the corset was attracted to him to test him as a partner. And so that's why it was attracted to him as well, because it saw him dancing. And then, like, the vision of a copper tub filled with blood. That seems like a romantic bath for the devil to me. Like,
oh. So, okay, so, are we going, so which one are we going with, though?
I'm feeling, I like this. I like where this is going. I think it's pretty interesting.
I mean, they both are, so, I mean.
Okay, yeah, they both are. Yeah.
I have an idea with that. Then if, I think that obviously Diamond Dave made a deal with the devil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's made a deal with the devil to find the devil a romantic partner.
Ah, good. Okay, Dave now is we're a getting middleman. Somewhere. We're getting somewhere. Yeah, that's good.
All right. So that, I mean, that makes sense, right?
Because like, that lets us go back to the reflective surfaces thing.
Dave is the devil's wingman. He's trying to set him up.
Yeah, and maybe the devil was going to help him with his illegal businesses or something.
Right. Yeah, right. Find him a worthy partner and he'll give him a boon to his business.
Yeah.
That's good. So the one question I have, that the one clue that kind of doesn't work then, is Luann knowing Dave and Lola were up to illegal things and was going to tell the authorities. That clue suggests that that's why she was killed. But your theory is that she was actually killed because she was an unsuitable lover. Unless we think that,
I mean,
maybe
I think
there's a different thing there.
If Dave is the one being entrusted to do this, maybe he threw Lola in knowing she wouldn't be a suitable lover.
Oh, so maybe she likes, like, that's interesting. Yeah.
She's this nice girl who was having a problem with them doing illegal things.
Or maybe
things,
he thought,
right?
He could just, like,
that doesn't sound, like, very useful.
Maybe he thought it was just a good, maybe, like, you know, like, okay, she knows what I'm up to. I'll just let the devil have her.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
Get her out of my hair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically using the deal to his advantage, yeah.
I think,
yeah,
Dave exactly. thinks he's tricking the devil like this.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So I think if we find out all this, I think we use that black ribbon to kind of mark maybe Dave as a potential lover for the devil. He seems like a slimy bastard.
As far as I'm aware, I still have.
Wouldn't
the
he be perfect? Maybe we could make our own deal.
It could be. So, okay. So I think you've pretty well, on this question, this theory, you've accounted for at least 7 clues. That leaves the one that we don't know yet, and then the black ribbon one. I need to be convinced further on the black ribbon thing, how that helps answer what the corset wants. Yeah.
I have an idea for the one that we don't know yet. I don't know how quite to phrase it or get it there, but the seed of my idea is the context of the conversation that was happening over chess is very much in line with finding a lover for the devil. Because we were talking about this relationship between Miss Steele and
that's
Mr.
Really
Walker.
Interesting.
I mean,
so maybe
we're literally talking about a potential romantic relationship between death
and
this deathless woman.
And she said, come over to my hotel room and I'll help you out with your current problem. I think she intended to, like, basically say, like, look, this is just, you know, like the answer is this. It's it's mortals being chosen as lovers for immortal beings or something like that, right? I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh shoot, what if she's the best option? She can't die, right?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that would be a pretty good clue. Like, Lady Antonia is actually probably, like, what the devil would want as a lover. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. She can't die, she's slimy.
That means I'd have to surrender a soul, which I don't know if I want to do that.
Should I rename that clue as Lady Steel?
Yeah, Lady Antonia would be a suitable lover for the devil.
Yeah.
Steel would be a steel.
Oh, no.
I love this.
I love this, but, like, how is our parson going to think about this?
Okay, but does that mean that I don't...
Because what would he think other than we're giving the devil the means to make an antichrist?
Oh, well, you know, I didn't say that the reverend liked this.
Well, we didn't say that we're actually... Oh, because we're trying to figure out what the devil wants.
Well, we're figuring
out
the corset.
Yeah.
I guess we don't technically
have
to give the corset
kill anyone. We're just
figuring out what the corset wants.
Yeah.
Then you have to. But the opportunity though is to strike a deal with it. So you are striking some kind of deal with it. But
So does that mean that if that's the clue from Lady Antonia, then that means that I don't even have to go over there? Because
you probably don't even have to have that scene. Yeah. Or maybe we can. I mean, we can have it like an off screen scene. Like, you did it, and then you were like.
Okay.
You're like, I think we have to give the devil Lady Antonia or whatever. Yeah.
Then maybe the clue with the black ribbon is just simply that we need to rebind the corset with the black ribbon in order to bind it so that we can communicate
maybe
with
the
it
binding
or something.
Of, maybe the binding of the corset is the ritual, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe that's the actual communication. Yeah. Like it's a certain pattern or something. I think that's pretty cool.
What if giving the corset or binding the corset to Lady Antonia actually stops the devil from being able to use her because she can't die? Like, that's going to mean that death has to say, like, okay, you can't have this one right now.
Oh, so you've actually tricked the devil in this case.
Yeah, like, trick the
devil. Oh, that's pretty good.
Maybe what we can say is people dying to the corset was always going to happen. It's just a matter of if they now turn into, like, this entity that is a lover for the devil, or they're just a normal lost soul, you know? So, like, normally you would have to kill
the potential lover,
but if you can't kill them, that's how we trick the, you know.
Yeah, the you would essentially be tricking the devil, which I think is great. And also, I think this is a tangential point. It doesn't really relate to the answer or question, but I do think it's worth pointing out that in the charlatan's backstory about Mr. Perdition, it's heavily suggested that that's the devil, right? You know, so like, you're kind of like getting that part of the story too. Like, Mr. Perdition is being tricked here a little bit in a sense, so.
Yeah.
He's clearly used to tricking supernatural
entities. The con man being conned. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I think this is really great. Let's just recap. Ultimately, what we're saying the answer is Diamond Dave was trying to find a suitable lover for the devil and also dispose of a few loose ends of his own. This is all of the people that the corset was presented to as, because the corset was like the sort of way of choosing the devil's lover, were all rejected, which is why they were murdered. He eventually is starting to be like tormented by the entity, which is why he's like covering up the mirrors and doing different things because he keeps seeing them. Yeah, all the clues I think are pretty well accounted for. Some of them are extremely well accounted for. And that would give you a really great roll of +3.
Nice.
That's pretty terrific. If we all agree, Reverend Potter, do you want to roll it?
Can I add something narratively speaking?
Sure, yeah.
I was going to say, I think we should tell the lady, hey, I think this is how we need to do I think we need to introduce you.
Yeah, she should be in on it.
Yeah, we need to introduce you as someone the devil will want. Right. And when the corset is bound to you, you won't be able to die, which will break the spell of this thing.
I think
probably going to have to wear it for the rest of your immortal life, but, you know, just stop anyone else from dying.
The thing I just realized Lady Antonia, she seems like the kind of person who's pretty well got everything in hand. You know, I think she kind of knows what is up, you know?
Yeah.
I have a question really quick. How does the topic come up that Jack knows she's unkillable? And does that reveal anything?
I mean, she mentioned it in the scene.
Right, to him, though. How does the rest of the Vigilance Committee know?
That's a good point. I'd have to do is, like...
Just tell us.
I mean...
Yeah, I think he just needs to tell us that he's death.
Well, no, he doesn't need to tell us that he's death. He just needs to tell us that the other lady can't die.
Right.
That's fair.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we can do a scene with this or not, but basically, he would... If he goes in on this plan, which... Question, Jason, is... I suppose if we did it this way, that would mean that she is no longer under my jurisdiction, but for a different reason, because she's now the property of the devil himself, right? So now...
In some sense, she wins the whole jackpot, right?
Because she can't... We can't kill her then.
Because now you can't kill her. And
my ultimate was like, what am I here to do? And now I'm just wondering, like,
but that's the
the
thing.
That's
your problem. That's your problem.
You gotta give her up so that you can
in service of the Vigilance Committee.
Well, here's the thing: if this was the beginning of a campaign, having her around,
immortal, like that's
frustration
that's exactly,
would be fantastic.
I could deal with it.
One question too. Did we settle on she's still going to be the devil's, or did we trick him so...
We're tricking him.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's
we're
not... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, basically like breaking the power of the corset by tricking the devil. And also she gets what she wants, which is death can't claim her, because if death is allowed to claim her, then the devil gets its power back, right? So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think the winner is Lady Antonia.
Yeah.
She's the one who gets everything she wants, right?
Yes. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why she's
almost,
here.
You almost get the impression that's why she came. Like, she wants you to figure this out. Yeah.
It's been her, like, her plan Master all, plan like, her play. Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason she couldn't outright tell us that, but, like, that's obviously why she's here. Interesting.
I love
it. I like that.
It's a +3. Reverend Potter, why don't you go ahead and roll it, since your initial theory was the way
Let's go.
It's a good roll.
I rolled a 7, so +3, that's a 10.
10.
That's a 10, nice. So you are correct. You are correct, and you can now pursue the opportunity. Because you're correct and you get a 10+, it will be a fairly straightforward thing. And so what we'll do whenever we do the night phase is we'll just kind of handle the scene in sort of montage. We won't do a lot of we won't really do any die rolling or anything. It'll just be kind of narrated, the conclusion. But I think that wraps our day phase. I don't think we need to do anything else for the day phase.
Okay.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Very nice.
So here's where we would do the saloon move, but since we're kind of wrapping up the two shot, I don't think we need to worry about that right now. I do want to talk about another scene, painting the scene about the wounded knight, because again, we do want to know more about El Paso. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask a question about the wounded knight. And in particular, we're going to talk about wards against the wounded knight. For 5 years, the shops around town quietly overstock some items. In the sixth year, which is the wounded knight year, what seemingly ordinary items do the townsfolk desperately buy in an attempt at supernatural protection?
I've got one.
Hmm.
Their sales of salt go way up.
I think that's fair.
I mean, if we want to go a little more biblical with things, how about lamb's blood?
Hmm.
Is that a seemingly ordinary item, though?
I mean, there's no reason why.
I mean, maybe just sheep, like livestock.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's probably plenty of sheep around here.
Yeah, okay. I want to go with something abnormal, so I'm going to be thinking about that for a second.
I think Wesley mentioned in the last dusk phase that children tended to wander off because they would hear music or something like that.
Yep.
So maybe sales of rope go up because they have just decided they're just going to tie up people inside of their house to make sure they don't wander off.
Okay. I think that they stock up on regular old iron nails. And the reason why is people start to make simple crucifixes out of the nails and place them everywhere around their house. And that's like the simple, cheap way to do it.
I love it. Thank you. So it sounds like what we're going to be doing for the night phase is we'll just do kind of a montage scene of basically confronting the corset, or you're basically tricking the devil using the corset in order to break its power. I love that. Do we have any Janus Mask prompts that need resolved? I don't think we do.
No, I don't think
so. We didn't get any new ones.
Yeah. In that case, I will introduce the unseen. Let's do Rain in the Mojave. This is on line 116. The sun finally goes down after a long day, punishing the 20 million acres of the Mojave Desert and all its residents. Native life includes creatures as large as bighorn sheep, as small as burrowing owls and hairy scorpions, and as unusual as Gila monsters. Just as the sun sets, an unlikely rain cloud forms, spared from its scorching rays. The rain cloud grows close to bursting with life-giving water. Maximilian.
Okay. Joshua trees can survive even long droughts, but the withered grasses and flowers need this rain if they are to survive and germinate. If it rains, what about the landscape will transform and be beautiful enough to inspire a song? So I think that in this scene, we see the kind of the dusty, dry plain in this Mojave Desert, this section of it. And we see kind of a lengthy gorge that has a lot of dried grasses in the bottom of it. And this rain, maybe we see like a scene of the past, like this rain is still oncoming, I think. We see a pastime where it rained and this gorge filled with water enough to like get up to the level of those plants and kind of start feeding them and giving them that life that they need. And we see animals come to this kind of small river in a way and start drinking. And again, it's kind of giving them that life, that energy they need to continue on and go find mates or have the strength to find food. And just the scene in general, seeing nature coming to life because of this rain, this life-giving water, is very beautiful.
Reverend Potter, you get to kick us off since you answered the question.
Oh, no.
You took point on answering the question. What does the beginning look like with Lady Antonia and the corset and all that business?
I think Reverend Potter, I think they're all gathered in the room where the corset is being kept, and they've brought Lady Antonia here. And Reverend Potter has removed his hat and he's kind of twisting it, turning it nervously in his hands. And he says, well, normally I wouldn't condone dealing with devil, but considering we are intending on taking away his power, I think I can make an exception. And so I think they're just all gathered in this room and they're gonna set up the corset like in the middle of this room and start this like binding ritual with the black ribbon.
I love it. Let's go back to the Mojave Desert, Jack.
The prospect of rain rouses all living things, even in the dead of night. What does it look like when a pair of unlikely creatures find themselves within a few feet of each other, anticipating the rain? And in this moment, I think, like Andrew mentioned, these groups of animals are moving across this desert, trying to hide in anticipation of the coming storm. But two animals in particular. On one side of the camera, we see a large black scorpion making its way towards its burrow. From the other side of the camera comes a snow-white rabbit. And they stop. And call it the law of nature or survival of the fittest or whatever you want to call it. But even in the life-giving aspect of an oncoming rainstorm, nature still takes its course in other ways because the rabbit attempts to move past this scorpion, and the scorpion just decides, he is in my space, I'm going to make him pay for it. Poof! This rabbit ends up being stung and moves more slowly and more slowly, falls. The scorpion continues on its way, much like calls to mind, actually, the chess match wherein Death himself, playing on the white pieces, was beaten by the player of the black.
Mr. Conrad, you are going to have the next bit of the narration, but before you do, I want to tell you that there is a sixth person in the room who only you can see. A man wearing a beautifully tailored dusty gray suit, a razor-sharp grin that reaches to the ends of his ears. He has a bowler hat on that he tips toward you.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep the scene going. What's the next part of the ritual?
Do we have Diamond Dave in here, or do we not have Diamond Dave in here?
I'll leave that up to you.
I was going to handle Diamond Dave on my turn.
Okay,
because I had an idea to handle him, but I think you're better for it, so I'll let you do that. So I think that we're here setting up this ritual, and we've placed the corset in the center of the floor. We've probably drawn some kind of symbols on the ground, maybe placed some candles in a certain pattern around this corset to kind of set that part of the ritual. I think that Maximilian is, maybe there's like a phrase in a language none of us speak, but he has offered himself up to read an incantation of sorts. And I don't think you're going to be very good at spitballing that, but Maximilian starts to read this incantation, and he has locked eyes with Mr. Perdition, the devil. And he nods respectfully to him, but there's also kind of an edge to his stare. And I think Mr. Perdition would know Max is very glad that he has finally found him.
Back to the Mojave Desert, Reverend.
The rain cloud finally bursts, giving sudden but much needed moisture to the parched landscape. A small tribe of humans wake as the rain begins. Their chosen location will naturally protect them from the risk of a flash flood. How do they maximize the benefit of the rainfall? I imagine this group of people, they hear the rain and they start to grab clay pots that they've made and they set them outside to gather the rain to keep it so that they can use it. And I think in the rush to get everything out, two people kind of collide into each other and one of the pots breaks. And this pot that breaks, it was kind of naturally like dyed a different color. And as this dye mixes with the water and spills over the rocks, it has the appearance of blood.
We'll deal with Diamond Dave at the end, post-ritual. For now, Jack, give us the moment of Lady Antonia's triumph over you.
Oh, ouch.
And, okay, so he's been standing here, and you said that Conrad was the only one who could even see Mr. Perdition, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So he is not aware of that, but he is aware that, effectively, in what he considers to be the short term, but still, he has been beaten, and... And this really hurts him, but he recognizes that, hey, I might have to, if anyone asks, I will explain what happened, and hopefully I am not fired from my job. And so she is there, the corset is laid out on the floor, and he is just standing in front of her, And I have this idea that she's like giving him the most self-satisfied smirk. And he says,
well, it seems that for now I must concede. However, the passage of time, you do not truly know what it feels like. But you shall one day. And when you do, you would welcome me.
Maximilian, how does Mr. Perdition react to being tricked?
I have a question for Wesley really quick before we finish off his part of the scene. Do you think it stands to reason that part of this ritual is binding the subject into the corset? And maybe you have to be the one
that was
to...
He's definitely the one that does it. That was a question for everybody. I was going to, because I had an idea about that. Yeah.
My idea of it is that he like is like whispering this in her ear as he's like binding her into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I imagined it.
So the rest of us can't hear what he's saying.
He's whispering it to her in her ear,
but then I think like as this is going on, the ritual is being enacted, but then possibly I know Perdition can see this, possibly Conrad, but in the ether behind the mortal veil, you're seeing, as the black ribbon is tied on, you're seeing like ethereal black ribbons crisscrossing her and binding her into this as well. But of course the others don't see this. And
yeah, and I think that as that's happening, as because you're doing this as Conrad is still reading the incantation.
Yes.
And he's approaching like the climax of it, the end, and he looks over at Mr. Perdition and a smile grows on his face because he sees an intense frown come onto the devil's face as he spots the Ankh amulet, realizes what it means, and realizes that he has been tricked, and even scowls. And I think that he's just looking at Conrad with open hate as he... I think he just like retreats and poofs into a sulfurous smoke. Maybe when we all catch a whiff of that in our physical realm.
Our last trip back to the Mojave Desert.
A young girl in the human tribe is experiencing a rainstorm for the first time in her short life. What does she make of the water falling from the sky? I think at first she's afraid because she's never seen this before. She's what, 2? Maybe? She's just barely toddling around. And she's afraid. She looks up and she kind of cowers behind the legs of a very old, weathered-looking woman. But the woman picks her up and pats her on the top of the head, and she tells her about the rain, about how beautiful it is, and about how much life there is to live.
Miss Wilder, you and Diamond Dave and Lola founded El Paso. You were the first ones. And yet, Diamond Dave has to be dealt with for the good of the community. What happens?
So I think we were doing all of this without Diamond Dave. I think he didn't know this was happening because we didn't want him to interfere. But I think I told Lola what was happening. And I think she knows that he tried to kill her because it went after her, didn't it?
I think it tried to choke
that
her
one scene,
that one time. And then...
It did, yeah.
It went after
both of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
It did.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I told her that.
The two other town founders. Right?
Yeah, and then it tried to kill you too.
Tried to kill you.
And tried to kill me. I think I told her that. And I think I told her that while we were going to be doing this little ceremony, I needed her to distract him. And I left her a knife behind. And as in the middle of the ceremony, I'm sitting there and my arm starts itching. I pull back my sleeve to look at that strange tattoo that showed up. And it's this weird tattoo. It's got a bunch of different things, but one of the things it has on there is a diamond. And as I look down at my itching tattoo, the diamond disappears.
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
boy.
And that will conclude the night phase. Very good.
Oh, man.
Let's just do our quick... So this is not super relevant for our little two-shot, but I will read off what the rewards were just so that your listeners know. What you would have had to choose from ongoing. So the rewards were the corset if you were able to bring it under control. You did not, though. But had you done that, you would be able to add the corset to your personal quarters. When worn, it shapes your body into its ideal form. Another reward is Lady Antonia becomes a recurring side character. You get one extra clue when you seek her counsel about cursed objects.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, that's fun.
You could have gotten a beautiful navy blue gown and black stockings, added to your personal quarters, a collection of powders and rouges, added to your personal quarters, or there are two options for a memento from the investigation. You ask another hunter what it is and then add it to your personal quarters. So those are the rewards that were available.
Are those all individual rewards, or we get one as a group?
You each get to pick one. Okay. Yeah, okay. You each get to pick one. But if you choose Lady Antonia, everybody gets the benefit of Lady Antonia's counsel. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then, so that's what we would have done that with the rewards. And then I guess the last thing we need to do is just to answer questions to see if any of your characters advanced during this. So everybody gets credit for the first two questions. Did you answer a question? Yes. And did you resolve a threat? Yes.
Oh, and really quick question, yeah. Jason, from mm-hmm. the first time around, do we uncheck those boxes and move them into advancements?
You unmark them and put them down to the advancements. Yeah. Okay. So you all get credit for the first two. Let's talk about Echoes in the Night. These were a little trickier. This is a trickier Echoes in the Night, I think. But I think we can kind of get there, especially if we kind of keep it in the realm of the symbolic or the figurative. Reverend Potter, did you get an Echo in the Night?
I was trying to kind of echo the tub full of blood with the pottery breaking and imitating blood, like spilling over the rocks.
Oh, I'm into that.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Yeah, absolutely. Take that. Jack Walker. Oh, Jack Walker, you definitely did. You called yours out.
Sorry. Yeah, I did.
You know, it's great. Let's see. Conrad, did you get one?
So my scene at the beginning of the Mojave unseen, I was referring to kind of this theme of life and creating new life.
Yes, a lot. I picked
and
up on that.
I was kind of tying that into like this idea of lovers.
Lovers, yeah, I picked up on that. Fabulous. And Miranda?
Well, mine kind of echoed his echo almost. It kind of on the other end of it, like new life. Like
new
young,
life being, yeah.
A
yeah.
young person with a lot of life left to live.
Well, and also like you were kind of renewing El Paso, right? Like in a by dealing with Diamond Dave and the corset, which I think is also very good. So that's great. Everybody gets all those.
I think it also echoes like I can never say her name right. Antonia. symbolizing
you say the whole
her.
Thing. Lady Antonia, Eurydice, Badger of a Hargrave Steel.
I cannot see that. But it also echoes her, like, this is kind of the start of her, like, officially escaping death. Like, she has a lot of life ahead.
That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I love it. All right, Reverend Potter, did you let yourself be driven by guilt this time?
I don't think I did. And I don't think I tried to convince someone to do the right thing either. So I don't think I can mark those.
Very well. You do get 3 XP. Not quite an advancement, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jack Walker. Did you punish a wayward soul by sending it back to the spirit realm? You tried.
I tried, but I didn't.
Yeah, I'll give you experience for trying. You get credit for trying.
Okay.
And did you have a misunderstanding with another character because they think you're the... Yes, absolutely. During the chess match, right? You absolutely did. Yeah. Fantastic. So it looks like you advanced.
I've got one box left, I think. Unless I miscounted.
Oh, you went away. No, you might be right. Let's go to Maximilian. Did you successfully draw someone into a scheme? Yes, you did. The devil.
Yes. Yeah, okay. That makes you feel better. I didn't think about that one.
Did you blame someone else for your mistake or crime?
See, I actually didn't realize I did the first one, so I was trying to think really hard about the second one. And it doesn't matter because I'm going to have 6 at the end. But I think it'd be a bit of a stretch, but I might be able to say that I failed the Russells in a way by allowing Hannah to die, but I was able to blame Diamond Dave for it.
I'm kind of into that. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, you got an advancement regardless, but I like it. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Does experience carry over? If you get more than you need, does it not?
Yeah, well, if we were continuing, you would get the bonus. You would get to take the
extra one would start on my next.
Yeah, and you'd start next one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but you can go ahead and mark an advancement. You would get to choose an advancement from the list below that. There.
All right.
Let's see, Miranda. Did you get your hands dirty to get the job done right?
I gave someone a knife.
Yeah, that is true. Although I would say, arguably, your hands became literally less marked up at the end with the tattoo. Mm-hmm. But
I think quite literally, but I don't know.
But
I don't
know if encouraging murder
is exactly getting my hands dirty.
No, I buy it. I buy it. We don't interpret it literally. Did you show favor to those above you or contempt for those beneath you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was pretty contemptuous of the fella I encouraged to be murdered.
Yeah, I think that I'm into that. Fabulous. So that would be all of the Dawn questions done, and that would be the game.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Very awesome.
Yeah, so cool. That was great. So cool.
Awesome. Oh, thank you.
I have a question for Susanna really quick.
Okay.
Would you use your move to take ownership of this place or no? Let Lola have it.
Oh,
no,
rock.
I think yeah. I would. I don't think I would do okay. that. Okay. Oh, that's not a bad idea. She might want to sell it to me, though. I kind of like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I can purchase a location.
Yeah. You could have two saloons.
I think that would have to be like what I would do for the next one. But no, I by the way, I would choose since I leveled up, I would choose feed the pigs. I can make people disappear forever because I think that would be a great place to start the next session.
Wow. Oh, that's
Diamond
awesome.
Dave being fed to the pigs.
That would be such a good spot. Yeah.
Me and Lola. Yeah.
We end with a little scene. A man and woman lounging in a bed in a very small but lavish room. Everything is soft and velvet. She pours champagne that she has brought for the occasion. Her companion is agitated but excited. He has terrible wounds on his neck, bruises and tears. So I could be free. That's the plan. She smiles and pours him a glass.
That committee will try and get in the way. And the witnesses, they've got to go.
We can take care of them. Let's just stick to the plan. They toast as the camera pans out the window, showing them to be in the caboose compartment of a long black train as it moves silently along the misty Rio Grande River.
Ooh.
Cool.
And that's where we're going to leave it until our...
We're leaving it.
No.
That's where we're going to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us, Jason. This has been super, super fun. Amazing. We're going to be back in 2 weeks to chat about this game, talk to Jason, pick his brain about it since we've got him around, and do a little debrief of it. We've had a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. But for now, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, guys.